You are listening to BensTorah.com.
I'd like to use this particular shir to explain a mimer of my Rosh Yeshiva, which many of the Talmidim in Lakewood, together with myself, heard from Reb Shneur Cutler, Zechroin Levracha. Medaf Hubma Hekif and Leonid. Translated from the Yiddish, we have to have a broad spectrum knowledge of Torah. And in my humble opinion, I'd like to interpret that in the following fashion. That there is a vast amount of Torah which Klal Yisrael is connected to. Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebal Peh, Yerushalmi, Bavli, Tosefta, Shulchan Aruch, Shalos Tshuvos, a tremendous amount of, and there may be some of us that focus on a very narrow spectrum of Limud HaTorah, and we don't have any kind of knowledge regarding the other approaches of Limud HaTorah, the other parts of the Torah we're not learning, and this could be problematic. Even though we learn Torah all day, perhaps, but again, in a very limited way, it could be that our neshama requires a much larger spectrum of learning to satisfy the requirements that we came down to this world to do. And I will specifically quote Sefer Shevet Musa that brings down from the Arizal that everybody comes down to this world with a predetermined amount of Torah that they have to learn. And when we learn that Torah during our lifetimes, we are coin a place in Olam Haba. And if we, God forbid, do not learn that amount of Torah that was predestined, then we might be obligated to come down to this world in another Gilgal to finish learning what we didn't learn that we were supposed to. The Shevet Musa is quoting the Arizal. And that's the Pshat in Sein Chalkeinu B'Sarah Sechel. Everyone has a chelik, and everybody's chelik is different. And we don't know why, because the information is not available to the mortal man, why it is that we have to learn a specific body of Torah. But we are obligated to do so. How is a person supposed to know what is his chelik HaTorah? So he continues that one is gravitated to learning a specific part of the Torah, whether it be Chumash and Rashi, whether it be Nevi'im and Ksuvim, whether it be Halacha, whatever it is, the Shevet Musa says in the name of the Ari, that that's a siman min hashamayim, a sign from heaven, that that's what we're obligated to learn. And following this logic, something astounding comes forth, that it could be that one person, all he's obligated to learn in this lifetime, a relatively small amount of, let us call it Chumash and Rashi, and a Talmud Chochem cannot look down on such a person, because it could be that Talmud Chochem is truly a Baki B'Sha'as. But in Shemayim, his obligation was set to learn more than he has to finish Sifra, Sifri, Tosefta. And it could be that this relatively unlettered person only has to learn a little bit. He continues that that's the concept which the Chazal mentioned. He's supposed to learn Mashal Liboy Chofetz, which the heart desires to do, because that's in Shemayim what our neshamas are obligated. And it's very interesting because I'm using this sheer difference to give, in a manner of speaking, an alternative pshat to something that many of us will find very surprising, perhaps even shocked, and something that the Shevet Musa in his Sefer Medrash Talpius gives in connection to Esav Arasha. The Pasuk says that Rivka was in pain when she was expecting. And there's the famous Rashi that we all know, that were, so to speak, fighting in the womb. They were running, was very anxious to leave the womb and go into yeshiva. And when Rivki Menu passed the door of an Avodah Zarah, Esav Mefachas Latzeis, and this was causing her great pain. From here, one might learn that everything associated with Esav and his descendants, as we'll see in a moment, was evil. And this perception is, L'choira, it seems, is strengthened by what the Rashi says in Parashas Vayishlach, at the end of Vayishlach. Ela told us, Esav, he Edoim, it goes through the family tree of Esav Arasha. And again, there's a very famous Rashi that starts trying to figure out who is whose child. And Rashi says it becomes very obvious that there was a lot of illegitimate relations, that people were having children with women who were usher to them, and prohibited marriages, incest. And Rashi says that the family of Esav Kulon, they were all mamzerim. But, as I mentioned, the Medrash introduces a very fascinating contrary concept or understanding that not everyone from the Bnei Esav were Rishoyim. And my friends, please forgive me that I must repeat something that I say in virtually every shir because of the need to condense the content of the Mar Makaimis, of the source material. I urge everyone to try to find a Medrash Talpius because there's much more here than I could quote in the shir. But in his Sefer, when he's talking about Eliphaz, the Shevet Musar says that the two most prominent members, the progeny of Esav that we said is enumerated at the end of Vayishlach, one was the personification of Tzidkis, and that was Eliphaz, and the second was Eliphaz's son, Amalek, who, as we all know, is the personification of evil. And he quotes the Yalkut Shemoini and the Medrash Tanchuma that says that Eliphaz, the son of Esav, was Zocha L'Nevuah Al Tivoy HaToiv. He was no less than a Novi. The Chazal say elsewhere that there were a handful of Nevi'im from the Umas Olam who were non-Jews, and Eliphaz was one of them. And he was one of the close Chaverim of Iyuv, that's referred to as Eliphaz HaTimoni. And Iyuv recognized him as a Yirei Elikim, and that's why Iyuv made him a friend. And he also quotes the Tanchuma, the Shevet Musar, that how did he reach such a high level of Kedusha? Because our Chazal tell us that he learned from Yankiv Avinu, his uncle, Esav's brother, his uncle, and he learned from Yitzchak Avinu. These were his teachers. And because he was literally Moiser Nefesh to save Yaakov, even though his father Esav told him to kill Yankiv Avinu, but he worked it out with Yankiv that he'd take away all of his money, as our Chazal tell us, and Oni Choshev Kemes, as poor persons considered like a dead man. And he had Rachmanis on Yankiv, even though he realized that he may forfeit his own life because his father would kill him for not following his directive to kill Yankiv. And regarding what he learned from his grandfather Yitzchak, that he saw that his Zayde Yitzchak literally was prepared to sacrifice himself so that all of Klal Yisrael, throughout all the generations, as we clearly say in Rosh Hashanah, the Akedos Yishal Yitzchak should be Machapar on us. So Eliphaz learned the Tzidkis of Yitzchak, which helped him become no less than a Navi. And he also says, conversely, where did Amalek learn that he became such an evil person, that he's a personification of evil? And we see that he had a special sinna to the Bris Milah, Amalek. Who did he learn this from? He learned this because he was raised primarily by his father Esav. And he brings down that Esav killed all of Avram Avinu's Gerim. That's why we don't hear about the Gerim anymore. After we mention it, when we talk about how Avram Avinu was Megayer Gerim and Sarah was Megayer the ladies, and all of these Gerim were Mala themselves when they became Gerim. And it seems that Amalek saw that Esav defaced the Mila of all of the Gerim that he killed. So Eliphaz is the tzaddik because he learned from Yitzchak and Yankiv, and Amalek is the Rosha because he learned from Esav. So we see clearly that the Medrash is learning, seemingly contrary to what Rashi says at the end of Vayishlach. This year will not address that, but L'choyretz, not what it seems, as we quoted, that Esav, the fact that he was a Rosha, that did not transfer to Eliphaz, who was a tzaddik. But the Medrash Talpius does a little bit more, shares with us another piece of information, which is yet more surprising, that not only was Eliphaz a tzaddik, but there were descendants of Esav that also displayed outstanding tzidki. And once again, trying to make it as brief as possible, the Medrash Talpius, when he talks about Gerim, he quotes a Tanchuma. The Medrash tells us that when Sarah gave birth, many women in the world gave birth as well. And some of these women came to Sarah, and Sarah nursed those babies. And because of the Kedusha of Sarah Imenu, all the children that nursed from her became Gerim. And he continues, do not be surprised, because we find by Eliphaz, Al Yedei Shenizgadol Becheikei Shel Yitzchak Nasa Tzadik V'Zocha Shora Olov Ruach HaKodesh. He extends this concept that we just articulated, that Eliphaz became a tzaddik because of his close contact and interaction with his Zayde Yitzchak and his uncle Yankiv. So the Medrash Talpiyah says we can go further and use this concept to explain how these babies that nursed from Sarah also absorbed special Kedusha because of the close personal contact they had Sarah Imenu. And he continues yet further that this concept which we just articulated as far as Sarah Imenu was concerned, that the milk of a tzedekis can have such a profound impact on the babies who drink it, that we find an outstanding example of this from the story of Antoninus, which we will relate in a brief fashion momentarily, because Antoninus nursed from the mother of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, Perek Rishon, Daf Yud, Umid Beis, says that this caused Antoninus not only to become a Talmud of Rebbe, but at the end of his life, Tosfos tells us that Antoninus was Meguyer and became a Yid because of the story which relates to how the mother of Rabbeinu HaKadosh nursed Antoninus when he was a baby. So we see this tremendous power that the influence and hashpah of a close person to a tzaddik or a rasha can change the destiny of that person to either become an outstanding tzaddik or a phenomenal rasha. And the story with Antoninus, which is also related in a beautiful fashion by Chacham Avadia, first Mishnah in the second parak of Pirkei Avos, he brings down the story that there was a gezeira that the Romans made in the time of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that the Yidden were not allowed to circumcise their children. But Rabbi Gamliel did it anyway. And one of the Roman officials heard of this and sent Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel with his wife and the new baby to stand trial before the king. And they stopped in an inn that was run by the wife of a different Roman official, who was an acquaintance of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's wife. And when these two lady friends met each other, she asked her friend, "Why are you traveling to the emperor?" And she said that they're in danger because someone was malshin. Someone told the emperor that they malled the child and they were all in danger. So this lady friend of Rabbi Gamliel's wife said, "Let's change babies. I have a newborn baby. You have a newborn baby." And they went to the emperor with the child of this Roman official and the lady who made this deal. And they made believe that this baby was their baby. And they checked the baby, and the baby was uncircumcised. So the lives of Shimon ben Gamliel and his wife and the baby were saved. But in the meantime, while she was traveling to and from the emperor, the wife of Shimon Gamliel, she nursed this baby. So our Chazal tell us that due to the milk that Antoninus had nursed from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's wife, pure milk from a tzedekis, he remained friends with Rabbeinu HaKadosh throughout his life and learned Torah from him and became a ger. And this, the Medrash Talpius brings down. So we see that not only is there the power that Eliphaz had, who was the son of Esav and the father of Amalek, to become a tzaddik, but the descendant of Esav can also become tzaddik. And it's interesting because, as a postscript of this year, that the Panim Yafis says in Parsha Zois HaBracha, that the reason for Gerim is to bring back holy sparks, and we should know that the Gerim that come from Yishmael and from Esav have even more holy sparks potentially than other Gerim, because they carry some of the holiness from their ancestor Yishmael, who was a son of Avraham Avinu, and the descendants of Esav perhaps have even more Netzotzes de Kedusha, they have more holy sparks. So we see that there is a potential from the descendants of Esav and Yishmael to have great holiness, and thereby HaKadosh Baruch Hu is desirous that these people should become Gerim and have these Netzotzes come back to Klal Yisrael. How unbelievable is our Torah, and how important it is for us to be able to learn Svarim that we might not be acquainted with, such as the Shevet Musar, who reveals such beautiful secrets of the Torah, Horeinenu v'sarasecha, v'davuk libeinu mitzvisecha, that we should be zoicha to learn all of those things that will open up our eyes, and we should be zoicha to connect to these tzaddikim who share these Torahs with us. We should have a hekif in limud haTorah, and we should be zoicha in Yeshuas for Klal Yisrael and for Eretz.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.